What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, where you can get real, honest opinions about films that are opening in your theaters soon, and every once in a while, an older film as well. So stay tuned. Enjoy what you're hearing. Don't forget to like us and follow us on social media at VS Movie Podcast. You know how all that works. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know what? Let's not talk about those anymore.
Yeah, let's talk about some of that.
Let's talk about stuff that came out this week. Oh, it all came out this week. No, one of these came out last week. Let's start with that one, and that would be Prey. The latest and greatest Predator incarnation.
I absolutely agree with everything you just said there.
That it's the latest and greatest?
Well,
it's the latest.
It is that, and it's, yeah. Anyway, we'll
get into that. So yeah, so 300 years ago, in the Comanche Nation, a predator shows up, and it's working its way through the natural pecking order. You know, what was like wolf over fox, or wolf over rabbit, bear over anything, and it's working its way up the food chain, and eventually it messes with some Comanche warriors. And the lead Comanche warrior is Naru, a young girl who wants to be a Comanche warrior, but she's a girl. And her brother is actually really well respected as a warrior and a hunter. Okay, I jokingly said this is like the 37th or 38th attempt to recreate the awesomeness that was Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Where
are you? So I mean, even I don't even really care for Predator 2, but it is far and away a better film than all the ones that come after that.
Sure.
So where do you fall? How do you feel about everything else? And then how do you feel about Prey?
Well, I think everything else was trying to, it was trying to be Predator too much. And obviously the Alien versus Predator things were, that's their own disaster, but,
right.
They're watchable disasters, like in the sort of, I can't believe this movie's this bad. How did you take two awesome things, put them together and make something that's incredibly not awesome?
So mediocre.
But the Predator I thought was okay. But I really like this film. I think that it's a different movie than the Schwarzenegger film in a lot of ways.
Yes.
But I think at its core it's pretty much the same thing. So there's a part of me that, like, I think that's a good thing. I think they found the essence of what made the original, you know, work. Obviously, movies have changed a lot since, 87, I think, is when the original came out.
Some such nonsense.
So I think that it's a little hard to compare the two films because film has evolved stylistically. I think, you know, this one is dare I say a bit more realistic, even though it's set 300 years ago and whatnot, but it doesn't feel like it has the same sort of But Carl Weathers, for some reason, it just feels like this is a film that he chewed a cigar in or something.
Well,
like
no, was he was in it. No, it was
who's chewing the cigar anyway? But yeah. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. it feels like a movie where you chew a cigar, and it's kind of a little bit silly in that regard. A little bit, you know, manly and tough or whatever it is.
Yeah, but let's talk about the authenticity, the real. They have made it a point that they went out of their way to make this from a period standpoint as real as they could.
Except for they speak English,
right? But they went out and they got Native American actors. Mm-hmm. They went out and they researched Native American like living conditions and fashion, but you understand what I mean. Fashion, yes. Color palette, how they made the colors, you know, mm-hmm. weapon construction, you know, prop construction, all of that stuff. And they do speak Comanche some of the time. Beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even, you know, we see the French fur traders, you know, later on in the film. So from a world construction standpoint, they really went all in. Now we are talking about a cinematic world that's about to be populated with a predator. So the realism does stop at some point.
Yeah, I think that goes into, you know, the way the film has evolved. Because I don't think when they made Predator that there was really any concern about what guns would these guys actually have had. It would be like, just give them the biggest one we can find.
Yes.
Or, you know, I mean, I think it was a different mentality. And so I do think, I mean, there are going to be people who won't like this because of that. But I don't think that, I mean, okay, Predator 2 sort of has that.
Right.
But I think a lot, you know, it's somehow the actual standalone Predator film sequels became, the recent ones were serious. Like, there wasn't that cigar chewing anymore. I like what they did with this. I like the special effects. It's got some incredibly gory moments.
Yes.
That I think some people will be like, oh my goodness.
It is rated R.
Because things get killed. I think. In very different ways at times.
Yeah.
You know, the body count's pretty high in this one, really. I mean, it's...
The Predator doesn't
anyway
muck about. Okay. So you were in.
Yeah,
how did you feel about the new we say new Predator, but it's really an old Predator. How'd you feel about that design?
I think it works in the film. And that's all that I was cool with what they did.
Okay, so
I like the skull thing and all that stuff.
So my favorite expression, I use it a lot, is internal logic. So you think it works in that context?
In the movie.
Right,
sure,
okay.
Sure.
So here's where I'm at. I watched it before you did, and if I'd have written my review within 24 hours, I would have been on the negative side. Mm. But the longer I waited, as it turns out, for you to watch it before I actually wound up writing my review, here's the thing. I still don't love it. But I like it more as kind of this period action piece than I do as a Predator film. Because I am not going to allow, I am not going to suspend my disbelief enough to allow for two things in this film. Naru, played by Amber Midthunder, who, by the way, does an excellent job. She does the action stuff. She does the emoting stuff. Everything I'm about to say is not because of her performance, because her performance is great in this film. There is no way she is going to beat a Predator at all, ever. Even with the primitive weapons that Dutch used in the first one. And there's a bunch, and we'll get to the callbacks in a minute, or call forwards, I guess. And the other thing is the patently ridiculous leashed tomahawk. I don't know who looked at that. I don't know who looked at that and said, yeah, that'll work. That literally, I mean, you can buy, like in Mortal Kombat, Scorpion with, you know, the blade on the rope. That I don't know what that weapon is called, but I know that's an actual weapon, but its use is actually markedly different than what she was able to do, he said with air quotes, with a tomahawk on a bark rope. She was wielding that thing like a combination Captain America shield, Wonder Woman lasso of truth. And honestly, if they'd have found any other way for her to fight, and she was using it to kill rabbits, which I think was the hilarious thing. And then she starts trying to use it against, but it's like, literally, if they'd have found any other way for her to do something like that, it would have been better. But that was just so dumb. I don't even buy it in the internal logic of this film. I can't.
It didn't bug me at all.
It terribly bugged me. But like I said, her performance is great. She does a lot of action. Like I said, she plays the emotive teenage girl who wants to be more than what her community, you know. So we've got the teenager coming of age, and then you've got the teenage girl wanting to break out from societal bonds. You've got all that, and that all works. And that's why I think the longer I thought about it, the more I'm okay with the film than I am as a Predator film.
Well, and I think, but you know, your argument that no way that they could beat the Predator, you've got to remember that this Predator is her to a certain degree in experience. That you know, this is the walkabout, or this is the, you know, the becoming a real Predator sort of thing.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, the fact that, I mean, inexperienced people will sometimes make really stupid mistakes. And I think this is a film where eventually, along the lines, you know, I think the Predator makes a lot of mistakes in this film, and eventually one comes back, you know, to you know, whatever.
And anyway. I don't disagree with that reading.
Yeah.
So I can't. So, Let's talk about the flash forwards real quick, because these are not flashbacks. This is a prequel, but not really, sort of, kind of, because they talk like they make it sound like this is the Predator's first time to Earth. So I don't know if they mean the race, because if they do, they have to discount all of the other crap, right? Like, you know, even the AVP, which still counts.
Sure.
Which would nullify that. Or they mean this specific Predator, which is your reading, but it's like, okay, so we're kind of retconning the history. But then there's all the stylistic call forwards. There's the mud. There's the, you know, it can't, you know, I don't know if I buy the it cools the blood flower drug, but again, in the internal logic of the film, I'm willing to allow it. You know, so you become invisible. And then the one thing that everyone jumped on is that flintlock at the end. And it's like, see, well, now they've tied directly to Predator 2, because it's the flintlock from Predator 2. Which is fine. I'm okay with that. But the problem is that in and of itself creates a plot hole, because she has it at the end. Predators have it in Predator 2. Now, somehow that has to change hands, which means there's a sequel, which there's no post-credit scene, anything, but there is a very clever sequel tease in the credits if you're watching them. If you watch, because I watched the animation for the first part of the credits, which tells the story of the film. And then the last part of that is the tease for the sequel. So theoretically, there's going to be a Prey 2. Prey harder. I don't know. But yeah, so they kind of distance themselves. They kind of, they pay homage, which is fine. And they just do it little stylistic touches, which I thought was nice. Like I said, like the mud thing was cool.
Yeah.
But then they go to the flintlock, which is an overt here I am raising their hands. But then it creates a hole that they can only fill later. So yeah, will it do well enough for them to get a later?
I just, for me, it just feels like this is set in the world of, it's one of those, you know,
But if they'd have left the flintlock out, I would have 100% agreed with that. It's definitely
You can still, I mean, you can still, you know, have things that come up that sort of connect to things later on, and they don't necessarily. I mean, in a way, it's just a nod. In a way, it's saying no. This is, you know, Predator 2's part of canon or whatever,
right.
Or you know, or something. I don't know. I just.
But like I said, but so all of that leads me to, I'm now on the positive side of this.
Yeah.
But I don't think I like it as much as you. Like I said, I like it more as an action film, or almost, sure. it's almost an adventure film. It's not even really, I mean, there's periods of action, but it's almost an adventure film, you know, like Indiana Jones is more an adventure film than an action film. Because there is a difference, you know. The Expendables is an action film.
Yeah,
you know, even the first the original Predator was an action film. This feels more like an adventure film, and mostly that's because of the main our main character.
Sure,
I'm totally okay with that. But I like it more in that regard than Predator.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it captured the parts that I need, you know, the essence that I needed it to. And, why not try something completely different?
Right. I know. Like I said, so yeah, it's good. It's a worthwhile watch. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so that was last week's film, and that is on Hulu.
Yes. It's
so
Hulu.
If you want to watch it, it's Prey is on Hulu right now this week, releasing today, is on Apple TV Plus, whom we love. More often than way more often than not. Luck, which is a Skydance animation. Mm-hmm. Not Disney, not Pixar, not DreamWorks, Skydance. Not who you would normally do. And this is about a girl who is terribly unlucky, who is in an orphanage, but she ages out of the foster care system.
And they just drop her.
They drop her because that's what we do with kids that age out of the foster care system. So it's kind of, this terrible look at the, at the state of our foster care system, in the country. But she's trying to help her little girlfriend who's still there. But she's terribly unlucky, and her little friend is afraid that she'll be terribly unlucky and never get a forever home as well. So while Sam, our hero, heroine, is sitting bemoaning her terrible day at work, first day as an adult in the real world, she shares a sandwich, a panini, with a black cat on the curb outside the cafe, and she finds a penny, and, you know, see a penny, pick it up, all that day you'll have good luck, and she has a really good day the next day carrying this penny around. Everything goes right. If she was going to drop it, it lands where it's supposed to be, whatever, it doesn't matter, and literally everything goes right, and we see from the day before that literally everything in her life goes wrong, from dropping her jelly sandwich, or jelly toast, and it always lands jelly side down, from getting locked in the bathroom while she's taking a shower, to whatever, the leaf blower guy outside blowing the leaves in her window, all of it. So she decides she's going to give the penny to her friend.
Yes.
And so she has good luck with a home visit that's coming up. But she accidentally flushes the penny down the drain because she took it out of her hand.
Yeah,
and so
not,
she
not Not so lucky. Huh?
Not so lucky. So she bemoans the fact she sees the cat again, and she's talking to the cat because apparently stray cats are therapists. And she says, and then I flushed the penny down the toilet, and it turns out the cat can talk, and he loses his mind. How could you lose the lucky penny? Yada, yada, yada. And she's like, you can talk. And then you're treated to this chase scene around the city where everything a cat does, jumping from here to there to stepping on cars to getting away from her, just works. And she can't not trip over her own feet or fall off a roof into a dumpster, what have you. Sees this cat conjure a portal and irresistibly follows it through and finds herself in the land of luck. And that's where the adventure begins, because that's where good luck and bad luck comes from. And she sees how it's distributed. But so, yeah, so there's hijinks galore in the land of luck between her and Bob, voiced by Simon Pegg, the lucky Scottish black cat. And yes, and the land of luck is lorded over by the dragon, the Chinese dragon, so the lucky dragon, voiced by Jane Fonda, who's like the CEO.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so there's this wacky cast of various characters, including Flula Borg as Jeff the Unicorn, who works down in the land of bad luck.
Yeah.
Doing stuff. And yeah, and you know, there's cats, lucky cats that go out into the world. There are leprechauns that create the luck. Whoopi Goldberg is the captain of the leprechauns, who oversees people going and coming and checking in and out their lucky travel pennies, which is what she lost. So yeah, so it's a wackadoodle. I said there's like these mousetrap inspired transit systems in the land of luck, where you just walk and wherever you happen to stand kind of takes you to the next place, and because it's just luck,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I know from reading your review that you and you, there's a link to Ryan's review on the website, by the way. So you didn't really care for this.
Well, I just think it's really bizarre that you make this the land of luck is a place that I would not want to go to. Like it's you know, it's like a fascist, you know, government. It's like it's so confining that it really makes luck look like, I don't think, you know, I'm glad I'm not living there, sort of thing. And I actually found the land of the unlucky to be a much more fun.
Well, which I mean, place. By the time the film ends, there are a lot of revelations and
sure.
interpersonal growth, if you will, in the land of luck and the land of bad luck.
But the land of—I mean, to me, the land of luck was just like it wasn't like the Wizard of Oz,
no.
Where you go to this place and it's like, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. I want to stay here.
Well, it was beautiful, but it—I mean, every day it was working to create good luck.
Yeah,
it was like it was just an industry.
Didn't yeah.
So yeah, I know. I get it. It took a lot of effort to make that all that good luck happen. So it's like, really, if you have to work at it, is it luck? But then there's this whole philosophical discussion about luck, and you know, do you make your luck? Does good luck attract good luck? Does bad luck attract bad luck? There's a lot of stuff going on. Look, this is not a Disney Pixar. This is not a Dreamscape.
Well, sort of.
Well, okay, so that's the other thing you had problem with. So yes, so John Lasseter.
Well, I don't really have a problem. I just think that I had a problem with him getting hired. I honestly don't know that he had much of anything to do with this, right. To be honest.
Except possibly as a producer.
Yeah, well, he's an executive producer, right. And he's kind of over Skydance Animation, but as for when he came onto the project and exactly what he did, I have no idea.
Right.
But so you know, I really didn't think about that as I watched the film. I did mention it in my review at the very beginning.
Right.
I think that it's unfortunate that somebody out there didn't get a first chance. Because they gave this guy a second chance. And I think that probably somebody else deserved that chance.
Right.
because he kind of sexual harassment and whatnot. He kind of, you know, buddy, you blew it. You had your shot, you know, but money talks and,
box office counts, you know? Yeah, no, I
box office counts, whatever. So, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, it just felt, I didn't hate it, but I think it's just kind of been a summer of mediocre animated films.
Okay. So let's talk real quick. So this is rated G.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So like all the other animated stuff that we've watched this year is PG or PG-13.
And I have no idea why. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But this is about as G as you can get. It really is. And so I think in terms of family entertainment, I don't know that anyone cannot watch this. There are people that won't watch PG-13 or PG films out there as a family.
It says something that, like, they'll rate a movie PG for peril, you know, for dramatic situations. Yeah. And then you get this film and it's G. So what does that tell you?
We talk about Disney, Pixar, and everything else. This is not some deep think philosophical movie. Everything they want you to know and learn is spelled out. Someone tells you. So for like little kids, nothing is unclear. And they get to watch little fuzzy cats talk and leprechauns run around. And there's a dragon and a big fuzzy unicorn with a German accent. So, in that regard, this is probably the most family. It is the most family friendly piece of animation we've had this year.
Marcel.
We're gonna talk about Marcel because I at some point I'm gonna remind our fellow critics that when we're looking at animation awards this year, to not discount Marcel as animation. You and I discussed this when we talked about Marcel, and I asked, would you be upset if it counted as an animated film? And we both decided that no, it's an animated film. So
yeah.
Like if the live action Lion King can also be considered an animated film, then Marcel can be considered an animated film. But you get my point. Yeah, Marcel is far and away a better film than this. But I was okay. But this is pretty generically.
Yeah.
It's just there. Like I said, you don't have to reach for anything in this film at all.
Well, and on an artistic level, it doesn't feel cheap.
No. It looks great. I mean, it looks as good as any other animation out there.
You know, to me, but it's just, there's no texture. I don't, and I mean that about everything about the film.
Well, yeah, like, and I was going to say, if there's mentally no depth, then that's going to take away with the way you perceive what you see. So I totally get what you're saying. So, like I said, if you have little kids, they'll enjoy it. If you have Apple TV Plus. Let them watch Luck. You can watch it with them. It's fine. You're not going to be crushed. You're not going to be miserable the entire time. There are other movies that would make you miserable, but yeah, this is not top tier.
It's like everything out of the other stuff. It's mediocre.
Yeah. And I'm going to end by mentioning, the voice of our protagonist, Sam, is, Eva Noblezada.
Yeah.
Who is also in the film we're going to talk about now, which also opened today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And that is the Joe Coy family comedy Easter Sunday, about a stand-up comedian played by Joe Coy named Joe Valencia, who desperately trying to keep his stand-up career afloat, get a TV gig so he can work more regular, see his teenage son who lives with his ex-wife and her new husband, Kyle, who makes things weird. who is the backup goalie for the LA Kings. He's auditioning for this part. He gets harassed by his mother to come back from the San Francisco Bay Area, from the LA area back to the Bay Area to Daly City, where his family lives. And we are then treated to the Filipino family Easter. One day, Easter mass, Easter lunch, Easter dinner, family drama / comedy.
Sure.
And then it turns into a gangster movie.
Yeah.
Right? So we have his mom, his aunt, he's got a couple of uncles, he's got a cousin, Eugene, and then his son, who really has no Filipino in him because his mom is white and he lives in Beverly Hills, is kind of dropped into this Filipino family dynamic. And he winds up meeting Eva Noblezada, who lives in Daly City, and they hit it off. So that's our link back to Luck. We come over. But so, and she's good in this too, by the way.
Oh, she's got the best scene in the whole movie.
She has a lot of the best scenes in the whole movie.
Man.
She has some. Okay. So if, man,
I'm of two minds on this film.
Okay.
Let's talk about
something real quick. Cause we talked about Prey and we talked about how they put that together and they were very authentic to the Comanche Nation and the native peoples. This is very Filipino. This is all about the Filipino American experience and existence. Having said that, let me just say that a lot of this is not uniquely Filipino American. A lot of this is Italian American, Irish American, Black American. Pakistani, it doesn't matter. But I came out and said, if you have a family, you see a lot of your family in this film.
Yeah.
Sure, here it's turned up to 11. And to be fair, I have a lot of friends who are Filipino and come from large Filipino families. Some of this is probably turned down to 11. So... just FYI out there. But yeah, it's crazy. This is like Crazy Rich Asians without the rich Asians. Sort of. This is like crazy middle-class Filipinos.
Yeah.
In the exact same accessible, fun, lovable way.
Yes. It is absolutely more a sitcom type tone than it is, a serious drama sort of thing.
Yes.
It feels very much like an extended TV episode.
It is done in these little like commercial to commercial chunks.
Yeah.
The sitcom comparison is spot on.
Yeah. There are parts of this movie, like, okay, so the family stuff in this movie,
mm-hmm.
I love the family stuff in this movie.
Right.
Like the interactions, they don't even know why they hate each other, but they hate each other.
Right.
The pettiness and all that stuff, because, again, like you said, every family is sort of that way. I got to talk to Joe a little bit, and that was kind of, the point was, look, we're different, but we're also not. you know, it was to kind of bridge the gap. As you know, we have our crazy things and we do crazy stuff, but really our crazy stuff isn't any more crazy than the crazy stuff your family does, and except, you know. So there was some the cultural stuff in there. I loved the son kind of getting taught a lesson. I love that moment.
Would that be the camera moment, or the "we don't talk to our parents like that around here"?
That one, yeah. Which is like, oh yeah, look at her. Just, you know, I mean, yeah, she says what everyone's thinking.
Yep.
You know, and that happens in film sometimes, but sometimes they say it so well that you're like, yeah, and she's the perfect person to say that speech. Like, no one else, anyone else says that,
yeah,
you know, but her, oh, it has an impact. But when it starts getting into the action, you know,
the crazy caper
and stuff, I couldn't care less.
No, all it was there for was to show you how silly Eugene is, but we already understood how silly Eugene was, and I would have preferred we actually saw like one night of Hype Truck.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean,
like if this had been Saturday Sunday instead of just Sunday, and we'd have seen Hype Truck on Saturday night, I think that would have been hilarious. And yeah, I love it. Hype Truck is not Taco Truck.
No,
which is what Joe thought he was bankrolling for cousin Eugene, which became Hype Truck, which is a completely separate animal, but which leads to wacky caper shenanigans.
Yeah, which you know, I mean, when you look at what there is a frightening the reason why he's doing it. There is some logic in there. It's bad logic, but yeah, you know, I mean. He's basically turned into it's a dollar store
on wheels. Yeah,
but with stuff that's so ridiculous that the dollar store probably rejected it. But that's, I'm fine with that. Like, but, right. But yeah, the whole the gangster stuff and the give me the money, you die, and all that. It just felt like. Why are we doing this when there's so much fun that we could be having just by the family being the family,
right,
and doing their thing? And so that's my, I mean, I really like the family half of this, and I thought that was a lot of fun. But the action stuff, I think it's like a distraction that just gets in the way. And
I don't know that I needed Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
I don't know that I needed that subplot. For what subplot it was,
I think that's the sort of thing where it's like they're friends,
right,
in real life.
So yes,
you know, and he's like, hey, do you want to come to this movie? Let's think of what could you do. Oh, why don't you be the cop? And we used to date, and I ghost you, and now you're, you know, anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, you know what? I would have preferred if we were going to have more of this heist stuff. I would have preferred more Lou Diamond Phillips in more of a Neil Patrick Harris, Harold and Kumar kind of way.
Sure.
That, because, you know, any excuse to watch Lou Diamond Phillips act serious in a completely hysterical way, because he is seriously hysterical in this when he's on screen, because he is like, just Zen actor, he's in it, but it's hilarious. So yeah, I'm all down. I would have been down for like an actual 15-minute excursion out into weird Lou Diamond Phillips tag along something. I mean, more than we got. I would have enjoyed that more than the Tiffany Haddish. So
well, that's where I think you could get that without having to. I mean. The way that he's kind of inserted in the film is, he, you know, I think you could get that without having the action stuff. I think you could be the neighbor. He could be a Hype Truck, you know, client, or, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, that he could have been that would have worked as well, if not, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, it could have been better. Like I don't mind him being in the film at all.
Mm.
In fact, there is something funny about it. Just him being in the film is, and he doesn't have to do anything. The fact that he's just there living with his mom or whatever is going on there. I don't know what, anyway, but yeah, you know, you could have introduced another family dynamic there too. But I just feel like a lot of missed opportunities.
But overall, it's still a really fun film. Which is weird. For as many missed opportunities as there are.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the relatability of the family.
Yep.
It is turned up. It is exaggerated. But also those moments, a lot of those moments really happens. Maybe not all on one day.
Yeah.
But those traditions and things that are happening and the all of that stuff is from his life, from Joe's life. And that stuff is good. It's the stuff that's fake that isn't really as good.
As good, I know, right?
And I think that should tell, there's a lesson to be learned there. Like, it was almost as if they said, this film, we don't know if we can sell it if they don't have this. And that this turned out to be the action, you know. We can't just do a straightforward comedy. Well, yeah, you could.
Yeah, you could.
And it would have been better. But for whatever reason, they decided they had to do something that was more complex, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know what that was either. So, that opens today. That's in theaters today.
Yeah.
I think it's going to go to streaming fairly soon, but I could be wrong about that. But it's definitely in theaters, and it's a fun way to spend an hour and a half, laugh at the family stuff because it's hilarious. The family stuff is hilarious, So that's Easter Sunday. So what are we talking about? We've talked about Prey. We talked about Luck. We talked about Easter Sunday. We have got. I keep saying there's like we have a metric ton of movies coming out soon. Apparently, as it turns out today, I just learned now that I'm actually with you guys. There's like a metric ton of movies coming out next week.
That
we have to screen. It's gonna be a busy week next week. Watching stuff.
It becomes prioritize.
Right.
Also, I have to consider my producers and what do they want. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Yeah.
Because there is a ton of stuff coming out next week. And I think we only have one screening in theaters.
Yes.
We have one in theaters.
And that is
Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Bodies, 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 A24. What have we watched A24 this year? Everything Everywhere. Marcel. We've watched quite a bit.
Well,
it feels like it's been a busy A24 year.
Well, they're ever present.
That's true. They really are. That's...
Because Green Knight was last year.
Green Knight was it just feels like there's just been a ton. But there are literally eight or nine films that were on the list you and I will talk as soon as I'm done blathering here about what we want to prioritize. There's a lot of stuff coming out next. But then the week after that, the She-Hulk series starts on Disney Plus on August 18th. So that's 2 weeks away. And then like 4 weeks after that, freaking Andor starts in September. That's just television. But we've got.
Well, it's gotten to the point. Everyone. There are so many outlets right now, and there's so much product that inevitably there are going to be lots of films that get lost in the mix.
Yep.
There's just so much being dumped. Whether that be Disney Plus, Hulu, Peacock, Paramount Plus.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the long list. You know, everyone is putting out their big stuff constantly to compete with the other big stuff, and so it's hard to kind of get through the noise. And
yep.
And you still have the not so big films and the you know, the B movies, and it is just I don't think it's harder now to know how to be a critic than I think it was in the past, just based on what
volume.
Do I need to see? Well, volume, what do I see? What, you know, who's, you have to think about so many different things, rather than it used to be, there's three movies coming out this week. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do that.
There's three coming out Tuesday on three different streaming services. Yeah. It's crazy. It is crazy. But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that looks good. There's a lot of stuff that looks like it could be good.
Yeah.
And then there's stuff that I just don't know.
I'm going to be diving into a lot of Netflix this weekend.
I've been shooting for those. So we'll see how that goes. So busy week at the theaters. Still a lot of good stuff in the theaters. A lot of good stuff in the theaters from weeks past. This week, like I said, Easter Sunday is a great. You know, it's take your fun. Friends or even your teens. They'll laugh. They'll shun and they'll point at you, going, "Yeah, you're that harassing dad or mom." Mm-hmm. Everyone can kind of enjoy that as well. So there's something in the theaters for everyone right now. So go find what that is and go see it, because it's an embarrassment of riches. Thank goodness. Let's become a little less rich so we can actually keep up. Let's not be dirt poor again like we were last year. Let's not do that again. Let's find that happy medium where we're constantly busy but not overly taxed, if you will. So there you go. So yes, Pray, Luck, Easter Sunday. That's what we thought of those. We will be talking about films next week. We will be deciding what those films will be soon. And when we know, you'll know. But as always, if we don't talk about them, I will write about as many as I watch, and you can find those on the website, vsmoviepodcast.com. If Ryan writes about them as well, I will link his reviews in my review. If we talk about them, wherever you listen to podcasts, follow the Visually Stunning Movie Podcast, and you'll get all of our talks about that as well. If you watch our Ugly Mugs on YouTube, we're over there too. Click subscribe. Everything gets tagged on Twitter at VS Movie Podcast. Follow us there and you'll get everything. I promise. That's it. Ryan, what are you going to do with your weekend before I let you go?
Literally, I will be watching things.
So will I. What will we be doing? Watching content. Yeah. That's what we'll be doing. Yeah. And hopefully finding quality in the content.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of content out there.
I've got some interviews coming up that I have to prepare for, and I always think it's best if you've actually watched the film or the series that you're asking the person about. So I will, I've got a hefty list of things that are coming out over the next few weeks that I have to.
You have to watch.
I have to. Series, that's a big change too. Series, that used to be another, that there used to be TV writers and there were film writers. Now it's a hybrid. So anyway.
So there you go. So stay with us. We will be back soon. I promise you will get content from us either way. Like I said, on the website, rewind 1 minute and you'll hear all those links again. So, till we talk to you again, I'm Mark. That's Ryan. Bye, Ryan.
See ya.
We'll talk to you all later. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.